from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. We bridge the gap between what happens on the field and what happens in the front office. We have a lot to talk about on today's show. Farhan Zaidi joined Tim Kawakami on the TK Show, a podcast on The Athletic. And he had several interesting points to make on that show, talking about the Giants' offseason plans, the financial flexibility that they have this offseason, and kind of a candid take on where they stand as an organization. We also have tonight's deadline for teams to protect players from the Rule 5 draft to talk about. So we'll jump right in, starting with the Farhan Zaidi podcast on The Athletic. So Kawakami and Zaidi talked about a number of topics. The first thing discussed was the Gabe Kapler press conference and hiring, and I think it's definitely worth a listen if you are a subscriber to The Athletic. I thought it was interesting. One of the key points that Zaidi made early on there was, you know, he clearly has read some of the stuff that came out in the San Francisco Chronicle, specifically the opinion pieces written by Ann Killian. And Zaidi talked about how he really appreciated the article that Susan Slusser wrote for its kind of factual breakdown of what happened when Kapler was in LA. And that's funny because we had the exact same conversation either Monday or Friday about the importance of differentiating between facts and opinions in this case. And Zaidi essentially echoed that sentiment. So thankfully, a lot of the podcast also focused on baseball conversations, and I thought that Farhan Zaidi had a couple of really interesting points to make about where the Giants stand, kind of an honest look and take on his perspective about where they are and where they were when he took over, and then how he feels like they're coming out of it and are gaining financial flexibility and what that means for them this offseason and moving forward. So the first line I want to talk about here goes, quote, "We have to be honest with ourselves about where we are as an organization. There's been a terrific run of recent history here, but we've had three losing seasons in a row, and you know there's a pretty big gap between us and the Dodgers right now. That's just an objective truth. I think we've been kind of trying to keep up with the Joneses in a way over the last two or three years. But, you know, there comes a moment within an organization that's going through a competitive cycle where you kind of have to rip the Band-Aid off and be honest about where you are and that things need to change." So when he says the last two or three years, he's very much talking about, you know, the struggles the Giants had before he arrived and the Giants trying to keep up with what the Dodgers were doing, but just getting trounced and completely lapped. So he goes on to say that now in 2020, quote, "we certainly have financial flexibility. We made some moves to ensure that." He's talking about like the Melanson trade, for example. "You know, there are different ways to spend that money. I mean, we can take on contracts from other teams and get some young talent attached to it, which I think probably fits the mode of where we are. We can certainly be active in the free agent market to the extent that there are matches that make sense for us. One of the decisions that you kind of have to make at a moment when you have payroll flexibility for the coming season is, you know, it's one thing to put a number on the payroll for 2020, and it's another thing to put that number on the payroll for 2020 and seven or eight seasons after that. And to be frank, that's what's gotten this organization in some trouble and created the lack of flexibility that we've had the last couple of seasons that we're just sort of starting to come out of now. So we do have flexibility in terms of 2020, but I think we need to be careful given our recent history about creating too many long-term commitments that can get us back in the jam that we have just very recently put ourselves in. But I do think that flexibility that we have, certainly more flexibility than we had last offseason, is going to potentially open up some different kinds of options for us. So that was a long quote, and I apologize, but I just thought the entire thing was fascinating and sheds a lot of light on where the Giants are and where they think they're coming from and where they think they're going. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of freed up money. The Giants, according to Roster Resource, have an estimated 2020 payroll of just about $139 million. And 2019's final estimated payroll was $186 million. And then looking ahead to 2021, the Giants figure to have only about $92 million committed. And then after that, it goes down to $22 million. So they are very much coming into a time when they do have more and more roster and payroll flexibility. And so it does open up a lot of options for them. I thought it was very significant that Farhan talked about having more flexibility this offseason, much more than last offseason, but that they need to keep the longer term in mind so they don't put themselves back into the same position, essentially, of having several contracts locked up to players who are in their decline phases. You know, we're talking about the likes of Matt Cain and Hunter Pence, Mark Melancon, and now they still, of course, continue to have some of those contracts with Cueto and Posey and Samardzija, Belt, Crawford, Longoria. But as those start to fall off, and some already have, it does give them added flexibility. So I think just reading between the lines, or just even reading the lines themselves, it's plain as day that they figure to be more active this offseason than they were last offseason. And I thought it was interesting, he talked about taking on another contract potentially to buy some younger players. So that's definitely something we need to explore closer in terms of who might fit that mold. Which players can they take on from other teams in order to essentially buy prospects and or young players, controllable young players? There are definitely some teams out there that are trying to win in 2020 but are having a little bit of a financial crunch and would be incentivized to clear some payroll so they can set themselves up better for 2020 and beyond. And you know, some teams that might fall into that category are the Boston Red Sox and Chicago Cubs. But I'm sure there are others, and we're going to have to look closely and see if there are any matches that fit that description. New York Yankees are another team that comes to mind under those parameters. So coming up in the second half of the show, I just want to a little bit continue to analyze these lines from Farhan Zaidi on this Tim Kawakami show, and also discuss tonight's deadline for the Giants to add Rule 5 eligible players to their 40-man roster, or else risk losing them in that Rule 5 draft, which takes place on the last day of the winter meetings. So that's all coming up next, but first, we talk about baseball performance all the time on this show, but what about performance in the bedroom? That's right. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew is the first chewable with the same active FDA-approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. They can be taken anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Yes, I actually know someone who has tried this product and they have extremely positive things to report about its effectiveness. The best part about Blue Chew is that it's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so there's no more visit to the doctor's office, waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness around this topic. Blue Chew is made in the United States and prepares and shipped direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit www.bluechew.com and get your first shipment free when you use special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code MLB, and try it. It's free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, as promised, want to continue to talk about this Farhan Zaidi podcast with Tim Kawakami, and then, of course, we'll preview this deadline for the Giants and all teams to add players who are Rule 5 eligible to the 40-man roster. So anyway, the main takeaway from this Farhan Zaidi interview with Kawakami is, to me, the line about certainly having more flexibility than they did last offseason, and that it's potentially going to open up some different kinds of options for them. So my takeaway from that is that, you know, last offseason was a relatively quiet offseason. I know they pursued Bryce Harper and offered him $310 million. And he did address that topic as well on this show, essentially saying that they're always going to keep their options open. And sometimes a 13-year deal for $310 million makes sense from a baseball standpoint, and that it wasn't a mandate from ownership. It just made baseball sense for them to pursue Harper on those terms. But now they have even greater flexibility. So I would anticipate that, you know, perhaps they will pursue marquee free agents. Perhaps they view Gerrit Cole as a guy worth pursuing given their current situation. Perhaps they don't. But I would say that we'll probably expect to see more significant moves. And my point was that they pursued Bryce Harper, didn't end up signing him, and then basically the rest of the offseason was relatively quiet. Although several of the biggest moves they made didn't get a lot of attention at the time, like the trade for Mike Yastrzemski was not a headline deal, yet he ended up being one of the most impact players for the Giants in 2019. So no move is too small to be ignored here. But that being said, I do think the Giants are definitely players to be a little bit more involved in free agency and or trades of significance, ones that will get headlines, than they were last offseason. And the people that come to mind, I immediately think of some right-handed hitting outfielders like potentially a Marcell Ozuna or a Nick Castellanos. Starting pitching, definitely an area of need for them as well, whether or not Madison Bumgarner is brought back. So shifting our attention to tonight's 5 p.m. Pacific time deadline to add players to the 40-man roster or else risk losing them in the Rule 5 draft. It's a little bit of a complicated system. Even just describing it in the simplest of terms sounds a little bit complicated, but the general rule of thumb is that college players taken in the 2016 draft or high school players taken in the 2015 draft, and then international players signed in, I believe, 2015, who are not on the 40-man roster, have to be added or else they are eligible for the Rule 5 draft, which takes place in mid-December at the end of the winter meetings. And teams can basically just pluck these guys from your organization. And there are rules about what they can then do with them. They basically have to have that player on their major league roster all season. Otherwise, they have to offer them back to their original organization. The Giants took a couple of guys in the Rule 5 draft last year, but didn't end up keeping either of them. And those players were ultimately offered back to the organizations that they came from. Even Connor Joe, the opening day left fielder in 2019, was a Rule 5 guy. He wasn't drafted in the Rule 5 draft by the Giants. He was drafted by the Reds, who then traded him to the Giants in spring training. But the fact of the matter is the Giants 40-man roster as of this recording is at a full 40. So if they want to add any of their eligible players, they would have to DFA people to get guys onto the 40-man roster. So the general consensus is that the Giants don't really need to protect any of their eligible players because their best prospects are either already on the 40-man roster or are recent draftees who are not yet eligible for the draft. So if I had to guess at this moment in time, I would say that the Giants are not likely to make any moves to protect any of their players who are not yet on the 40-man roster. But we will know tonight, and we will have that information on tomorrow's show if they do elect to make any 40-man roster moves. Just looking over the 40-man roster, it's not clear to me that there are any players who are worthy of DFAing in order to protect these other guys who probably won't be targets of other teams in the Rule 5 draft. The thing is, you can have guys that you like, but if they're just so far away from the major leagues, other teams aren't going to burn a major league roster spot for them when they're almost guaranteed to not be able to produce yet at the major league level. One factor, though, is that in 2020, Major League Baseball is expanding MLB roster sizes from 25 to 26, and so that definitely could have an effect on teams perhaps being willing to roster an extra player in an attempt to sneak them into their organization. So you can have a young, raw talent that you project as being good one day, but not yet capable of playing at the major league level, that you might select in the Rule 5 draft and just hide on your roster in the 26th spot all season. There's also ways you can kind of manipulate the system by having the player on the injured list. They just have to spend at least, I think it's 90 days on the active list, and they can still be kept in your organization. The Giants had Rule 5 draft pick Travis Bergen on their roster for much of last season, and they also hit him on the injured list. He did have a shoulder injury, but he's an example of a guy they kind of tried to sneak into their organization without giving him a major role. So anyway, we'll discuss whatever happens with the 40-man roster movement on tomorrow's show. Remember, to get this show every single weekday, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. Please check me out on Twitter, @BenCaspick. That's Caspick with 2 Ks. Really hope you enjoyed today's episode. And I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow. And until then, we'll see you next time.